We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And if you're up, so are we. It's the early morning show. Think of it as a pre-show to the pre-show kind of thing.
Hell of a way to begin a day.
Tuck in Pittsburgh sports before the sun comes up. The Fan Early Morning Show is on. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into the early morning show. I'm Cale Berger. Glad to be with you for another day, filling in all week for Matt Cole, and glad to be with you, getting you ready here this morning. You know, something that I noticed yesterday as I left the office, was going through the Tuesday news cycle. I'm a little sidebar here. I'm still amazed how the NFL, by not even playing at really a dead part of the calendar year for their schedule, has still managed to pretty much dominate the headlines. And that just is another example of just how powerful and how popular the NFL really is in this country. But I saw these questions being asked on social media. I saw this speculation and people saying and asking, you know, why are the Bucs, are they interested in Antonio Brown? Is Antonio Brown going to be a Buccaneer? Does Tom Brady want to play with his former New England Patriots teammate, who they were teammates for one game against the Miami Dolphins back last fall? Are the Bucs going after AB is the overall question. And I just can't seem to wrap my head around why everyone thinks that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the number one, premier, only, exclusive destination for Antonio Brown this coming season. When you look at the Bucs, and we'll get a little bit to what I think will happen with Antonio Brown here in a second, because a little spoiler for you, I don't think he's going to be sitting at home this season if football is inevitably played. I think a team's going to want Antonio Brown's services on their team regardless of his antics and actions over the past 2 years or so and off the field. But I keep looking at this Bucs to AB story that everyone keeps trying, or AB to the Bucs story that everyone keeps trying to force down everybody's throats, and I just don't get it. I don't see the logic in why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would want Antonio Brown, because they don't need him. And what it would really be like if the Bucs and Tom Brady were to bring in Antonio Brown, first of all, if they did it right now, it would look like they'd be trying, it'd be Brady forcing them to one-up the Patriots because they brought in his replacement in Cam Newton, who I think is going to have a very good season there for the Patriots up there in Foxborough this season, filling in for Tom Brady and replacing Tom Brady, at least for this year. But, you know, it doesn't make sense, and it's an unnecessary headache for a team that isn't in dire straits for a playmaking wide receiver. And what I keep comparing it to, I was watching one of those TV shows last night. I think it was Modern Family or something. And the episode, the dad, Ty Burrell's character, I don't even watch the show. He inherited some RV, and he loved the RV, and his wife wanted to sell it on Craigslist. And I see this as the opposite or the inverse of that. It's like making some frivolous purchase that you don't need, but you make it because it makes you feel good for some reason, or you're making this to be a status symbol, I guess, of some sorts. It'd be like buying an RV off Craigslist and you know, you don't even like camping that much, or you don't even like road tripping. It's just buying it for the sake of, we want an RV. You got three cars in the driveway already. You're doing well for yourself. You got one of those rewards things with Hyatt or Hilton. You have figured out traveling and how to do it and do it pretty damn well. So you don't need an RV, but you go out and buy an RV for some reason. That's what I equate this AB to the Buccaneers nonsense to. And you look at Tampa's receiving core, and you start to understand, and you start to rationalize why Tom Brady would leave New England and want to go south to Tampa Bay, because you look at this receiving core, these offensive weapons that Tom Brady is walking into, and you're not even an NFL quarterback, and you start salivating. You start thinking, oh my God, I can't believe how many weapons he has, how good these guys were last year. And now they're getting Tom Brady, and maybe they're going to have even more opportunities, more yardage, more receptions, because half their passes aren't going to be picked off by the other team, and they might actually end up in their hands because Jameis Winston is now in New Orleans backing up Drew Brees. But let me just take you through Tampa's receiving core next season. Okay, Mike Evans, I would say a top six wide receiver in the league, three-time Pro Bowler, Bucs all-time leading receiver for the franchise, 67 catches, 1,100 yards last year, 8 touchdowns in 2019. Then you got Chris Godwin, who really was a diamond in the rough and came out of nowhere and really impressed a lot of people last year. He certainly helped a lot of people's fantasy teams. Pro Bowler for the first time last season, just 24 years old, led the team with 86 catches, 1,333 yards, 9 touchdowns for Godwin. And then you go to the tight ends, and the big name that came in, the big, former fraternity brother of Tom Brady, and Rob Gronkowski, who comes out of retirement after a year, 79 career touchdowns, arguably one of the best in NFL history at his position. And he's rested after a year off of not playing football, not taking this beating that he would take every year going over the middle for the Patriots. Down the tight end ranks, O.J. Howard, athletic, fast, but he's got some untapped potential. He hasn't done much, but still the physical tools are there. Cameron Brate, reliable, 27 touchdowns over the last 5 seasons. A target that Tom Brady's absolutely going to love. So I look at this list of skill positions, especially in the receiving core that they have up there down there in Tampa, and I'm thinking to myself, regardless of the price you can get Antonio Brown for if you're Tampa, and regardless of how much Tom Brady, for some reason, continues to say that he wants to play with Antonio Brown and they're such great friends, and he stayed at my house when he was with the Patriots for 2 weeks, I love the guy, I want the guy to play here, why would you bring him in to just be a headache when you're already absolutely stacked in the passing game? I don't care if it's going to be change on the dollar to bring in someone who is obviously a great receiver. But I don't understand the point of why everyone is so gung-ho about Antonio Brown is absolutely going to be a Buccaneer. And for the second time, they've had to deny, or reports have come out that they have said, we absolutely have no interest in Antonio Brown. Report from Greg Allman of The Athletic yesterday saying, nothing has changed with the Bucs in their lack of interest in signing Antonio Brown, as Bruce Arians made clear in March, just not a match. Yeah, it's just not a match because they don't need him, because they're stacked at wide receiver. Now, that being said, he didn't say Antonio Brown's services can't be useful to somebody. Antonio Brown still on the field isn't one of the three best receivers in the NFL, because I firmly think he is, even if he hasn't played in a year. I think that's malarkey. I think that's whatever. I still think he's one of the best in the league, up there with probably neck and neck with the DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones of the world. But just because he's not a fit for the Buccaneers doesn't mean that I don't think Antonio Brown won't play in 2020, because I firmly believe that in this COVID-altered season, in this potentially shortened season, in a very weird season, I think a team is going to look at their receiving core or look at their skill positions and say, man, we could really use some help. And that guy, Antonio Brown, who over the last 6 years, over the last decade, has been the most prolific receiver in the NFL, he's still out there, he's still working, and he's healthy. And the fact of the matter is, I firmly believe a team's going to sign him because he's just too good to be passed up. And a top flight wide receiver in this league is too valuable. And I know people want to tell me all the time, I got buddies who say, oh, you don't win with an all-pro wide receiver. I mean, number one wide receivers like that, elite wide receivers, you don't win Super Bowls. I don't know what that means, but it does not hurt to have a guy with Antonio Brown's skill set on the actual football field on your football team. And I look at a team like Seattle, maybe a team like the Jets, maybe even the Miami Dolphins. They're right there in his backyard, and they could use some receivers for Tua because they did absolutely nothing to address that in this year's NFL draft. I think there's plenty of teams out there that will bite the bullet, swallow their pride, and say, I don't care what his suspension is, if it's 4 games, 6 games, 5 games, we need to bring this guy in because we need a playmaker. He's got a skill set that just cannot be matched in this league. And the only domino right now that needs to fall is the pending suspension or pending discipline he's going to receive from the investigation after he, you know, got in that skirmish or he pleaded no guilty, no contest to the burglary and battery in connection with an altercation with a moving truck driver a few months ago. That's the only thing they got to do. And I guarantee you he's not going to be suspended for 12 games or something or 16 games. It's going to be 4 games. And I think a team is willing to say, listen, if we can get Antonio Brown for like the vet min because he's had some bad temper and some bad actions over the last few years and he's going to have the suspensions, we can even, that's another reason why we can get him on a discount and we'll get him for 12 games out of 16 or we'll get him from 11 games or 10 games. I think there's plenty of teams in the NFL. I think there's 10 teams, 10 to 15 teams in the NFL that are seriously, genuinely looking at Antonio Brown. And it comes down to this. Antonio Brown might be the worst. We might feel that way about him and feel some type of way here in Pittsburgh about Antonio Brown's antics and the way things ended here, the way he's acted since leaving Pittsburgh or immediately prior to leaving Pittsburgh. We clearly have thoughts and hard feelings about Antonio Brown. But there's no denying how good he can be when he's on the football field. He might be one of the 5 best playmakers in the league right now if he were on a team. And what it really comes down to with the NFL is worse have gotten jobs than Antonio Brown and what he's done. Guys have done worse things. Guys have done more egregious things. Guys have done things on video and still gotten opportunities in the NFL. So why is it so out of the realm of possibility and out of question that Antonio Brown couldn't get another opportunity? The only thing I'm saying here is let's stop saying that's going to be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because I believe there's absolutely no chance. More to come here on the Early Morning Show. Next, a chance that the NFL preseason might be shortened due to COVID-19. I have some thoughts and maybe what I think they should do long-term with the NFL preseason. Coming up next here on 93.7 The Fan, Cale Berger, it's the Early Morning Show. Welcome back to the Early Morning Show. Cale Berger with you. Here all week filling in for Matt Cole. If you ever want to listen back to some of the other Early Morning Shows from the week, you can always check out the Early Morning Show podcast at 937thefan.com or use the radio.com rewind feature later today if you want to listen to anything I talk about here on the Early Morning Show, taking you all the way up to about 5:40, getting you ready for the Fan Morning Show pre-show with Colin Dunlap and Jim Colony. Chris Mack off the rest of the week. He'll be back on Monday. And I saw this report from Mike Garofolo of NFL Network yesterday saying that the NFL is discussing the possibility of shortening the preseason. And it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when they decide to do it. Obviously, no surprise here because of the threat of coronavirus, COVID-19. And when I look at that idea of shortening the preseason, of let's say knocking it down to 2 games instead of the 4, 5, even if you play in the Hall of Fame game, I think, great. And you know what? Shorten it for good. Shorten it forever. Keep it that way going forward. Because the simple fact is we don't need 4 preseason games, 5 if you're like the Steelers and you were scheduled to play in the Hall of Fame game this year with the Dallas Cowboys that was obviously canceled last week due to fears regarding COVID-19. It's just completely unnecessary to sit there for a month when we could be playing football and watching these games that mean absolutely nothing. And I get there's one positive in the preseason games, and that's that tickets are a little cheaper. If you're someone who, you know, maybe is in a lower income bracket, that's an opportunity for you to take your family at a reasonable price to go see NFL football players out there on the field. I get that, and I 100% fully support that and agree with that, and that's a very good reason why preseason games should happen, so we shouldn't completely get rid of the preseason. But the fact of the matter is that four is overkill. It's too many. I mean, what's the point of four preseason games? I got a list of reasons right here. First of all, number one, most of the star players and starters sit out anyways and don't even play the entire preseason. It used to be, all the starters play for the whole first half in the third preseason game. I mean, that's not even the case anymore. If you're the New Orleans Saints, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger do not need to see any action in the NFL preseason. Now, it's a different year for Ben Roethlisberger, so maybe he needs to get out there a little bit just to see some NFL action against different jersey colors, throw the ball around a little bit, get a little bit of a feel back so he's not just stepping on a field in live action for the first time week one against the Giants. But guys like Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes does not need to touch the preseason. Tom Brady does not need to touch the preseason. Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, these guys don't need to see the field in the preseason. So what's the point of trying to act like these games are some must-see attraction or something? Or, you know, why do we need to have four of them if they're not going to play in all four to begin with? They certainly don't need to play in two, and they won't. But it doesn't make a lot of sense to have these four games when none of these guys are playing in them anyways. They're all sitting out. So what's the point of having four games to look at guys that the majority of them won't even make the roster? And that's the key. Coaches and GMs can make roster decisions on the borderline players in two games. They probably have their minds made up prior to the end of the preseason to begin with. They probably have them made up way before we all think they do. So they don't need four games, five including the Hall of Fame game, to decide if John Smith from Eastern Washington is going to make the roster as the seventh wide receiver and a special teamer. I mean, I think you can figure that out in two games. You let those guys that are borderline players, that are undrafted free agents, that are some of your later round draft picks, let them play the entire game for two games. Don't even throw the starters out there. Don't even throw in Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees. Don't throw those guys out there. Let literally all of the guys that you are trying to make decisions on play for two whole games, and that'll give you enough film, enough eye test, enough time to evaluate who's going to stay on the team and who isn't. The other thing, too, is just give us football sooner. We don't need to wait a month until actual football matters. Do it 2 weeks, space it out over 3 weeks, I don't care. But four games of waiting of stuff that doesn't count, that doesn't matter, doesn't mean anything. Let's get to the football sooner. And that's the biggest point for this year for 2020 due to COVID-19, is they need to cut the preseason to get as many actual games that count in as possible, because we don't know at what point there might be some, I mean, we're already seeing flare-ups around the country, but some massive spike again in cases that affects every NFL team because it's taking place in every big city in America. We don't know when everything's going to hit the fan again, if that might happen. Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, just talked about it yesterday with Time Magazine, saying we have no set-in-stone plans because we don't know what's going to happen a month from now. A lot can happen a month. Think of what can happen 2 months from now, three and a half, or 2.5, 3 months from now. A lot can change, especially in this era of the COVID-19 pandemic, of the coronavirus. We don't know what the future holds right now. And if you're the NFL, don't waste your time playing meaningless games for your star players to sit in a hoodie on the bench and fool around for four weeks. Let's cut it down to two. Let's get to the action. And you know what? Let's keep it that way for the foreseeable future, because four preseason games is absolutely ridiculous. More to come here on the Early Morning Show before we get you ready for the Fan Morning Show pre-show with Colin Dunlap and Jim Colony. And another interesting comment from a player in the NBA, and we talked about this on the Fan Morning Show yesterday about asterisks, and I'm not going to say that right, I just know for a fact, and how legitimate championships are. Austin Rivers of the Houston Rockets had a very interesting point about that. I'm going to talk about that next here coming up on the Early Morning Show. on 93.7 The Fan.
Waking you up with our first take on Pittsburgh sports.
They know how to wake you up.
It's the Fan Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Early Morning Show. Cale Berger taking you all the way up to the Fan Morning Show pre-show around 5:40 here on this Wednesday. Happy to be with you bright and early. And something I saw last night, kind of before I turned in, you know, got some extra Z's before, this early wake-up call that I've been doing all week, and I have to say it's been a struggle. As someone who prefers to sleep in, for sure. I saw this from Houston Rockets guard Austin Rivers. He was speaking with Taylor Rooks of Bleacher Report, talking about, I assume, the NBA season and how the NBA is going to restart up again here at the, literally at the end of the month. We can't believe we're in July now, but starting up here literally at the last day of July, so in about 30 days. And basically the gist of what Austin Rivers said is, yes, the 2020 NBA champion of this season will have an asterisk next to their name in the record books. But it will be in a good way. And let me explain why. Austin Rivers said the 2020 title will be, quote, one of the toughest championships ever won, end quote, when the season ends inevitably in, you know, September or October, whenever they plan on playing the NBA Finals. And I have to say, I 100% agree with him. Now, I'm not a big believer in asterisks and asking how much legitimacy there is to championships or performances or games. You know, like, I remember a few years ago, Devin Booker, shooting guard for the Phoenix Suns, one of the best young players in the NBA, he scored 70 points, and it was the most points ever scored since Kobe scored 81 back against the Toronto Raptors earlier this century. So he scored 70-something points, and it was an incredible feat. But then I heard people trying to say, well, he didn't have Avery Bradley wasn't playing that day for the Celtics. He's their best perimeter defender, and I get that. But listen, we're all NBA players. Everyone out there is in the NBA for a reason. They're not out there because they won some contest and they get placed out there to make them feel good. No, they earned their way there, and they're NBA caliber players. So regardless of who he put that performance up against, it counts. It's legitimate. You know, same thing in any other sport. You know, let's say Patrick Mahomes this year breaks the record for most touchdowns thrown in a game, but he does it against, like, the Miami Dolphins or the Bengals or the Jets or someone who's going to be really bad. No one's going to say, well, look how bad. He didn't do it against the Steelers. No, he did it against an NFL defense. And when I look at this year and Austin Rivers saying this is going to be the toughest championship ever won in the NBA or one of the toughest championships ever won, I 100% agree with them. And there's a number of reasons that this is going to be more challenging than past championships. Now, obviously, whoever you end up playing in the finals plays a factor in that. But there's so many reasons why this is going to be difficult and challenging for NBA players and NBA teams to stay focused, stay hungry, and to end up being the last remaining teams in the bubble, basically, and be playing in October in the NBA finals for a championship. Number one, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And if you're a player, I mean, listen, I'm a germaphobe. I'm a hypochondriac. This has been, I'll admit, it's been rough for me. There's been a lot of anxiety. And I can't even imagine the anxiety of if you're being a player, you're in this bubble, and you're in the constant fear and constant limbo of getting a positive test, and that means you can't play. And that's only going to increase as the season goes on. Yeah, the restarting the game, finishing the regular season for seeding purposes here, that's one thing. But wait till you get to the conference finals, the NBA finals. Think of the constant anxiety and fear that you have thinking, oh, I hope I don't test positive because then my season's over to an extent. Like, I can't even imagine dealing with that sort of level of constant anxiety that players are inevitably going to have. Second one, they've been off for 3 to 4 months. Any chemistry these teams had, well, let me rephrase that. Some teams, the strongest and most tightly knit teams, are going to have chemistry and be able to pick things back up right off where they were. Obviously, some teams have been working out, and I'm not going to make any accusations about violating social distancing or anything, but players have been around each other. They've been working out. They're familiar. There's friendships there. So I'm not as much worried about chemistry for some of the top teams and the really tight-knit teams. But for some teams, that's going to be an issue. The other thing, too, is momentum. If you were a team like the Toronto Raptors or the Lakers or the Bucks and you were firing on all cylinders, if you were the Miami Heat and you were rising through the ranks of the Eastern Conference standings right when the season went under temporarily, then that's all gone. And you're picking up from scratch, and it's almost like you're starting a new season in the middle of July. The other thing, too, we are at a very tenuous time in our country right now, a very emotionally charged and a very passionate time in our country where a lot of these players, NBA obviously a pretty much the vast majority of players are Black, African-American players, players of color. They're simultaneously trying to fight the fight for racial equality against police brutality, systemic racism, something that players have obviously brought up and those have been concerns they've voiced. That's something they're having to deal with right now while they're playing. They're continuing that fight. They've said they can do it. Guys like LeBron said that I can play and still enact change, and I agree with him. But that constantly being on your mind has to take a toll as well. The constant belief that, well, you know, maybe we're not doing the right thing here. Maybe this is a bad look that we're out here playing a game and playing basketball because of whatever reason. We want to bring hope to the country, or the actual reason of we need to make sure we satisfy these TV contracts, regardless of what it is. That's got to be something that's weighing on a lot of these players' minds and obviously is already weighing on their minds prior to them even stepping on the court again. You have no home court advantage. You are playing in a bubble with no fans. The only people sitting in the stands are going to be, I assume, league officials, people that are working in the bubble, and other players, which is, I think, going to be cool. You're going to have some kind of an AAU vibe. You're going to have the other teams that are waiting to play kind of sitting in the stands. It's almost like some of these conference tournaments you see in the ACC or Big 12 or whatever in college basketball where the teams are hanging out watching the end of the next game. I think that's kind of cool, but there's no home court advantage. If you're a team like the Milwaukee Bucks or the Miami Heat, who I believe have one of the best home records in the NBA, at least up until the restart, that's gone, and you're a much better team at home than you are on the road, and now you're playing in neutral sites. That's going to be something that teams are going to have to struggle with and deal with as well, playing every game in an unfamiliar place without any fans, without any of your hometown support. And the other thing, too, is you got key players sitting out. You know, guys that are obviously testing positive right now for COVID-19 as teams start to get back, and they're deciding this isn't for me, I need to sit back and care for myself, which I 100% agree with and think players should do, and no one should knock them for that. And other guys, but a lot of these guys that are sitting out are key players. I talked about Avery Bradley earlier. He plays for the Los Angeles Lakers. He announced that he's going to not play and sit out the rest of the season, opting to sit out because of, you know, health risk with his own family, which is admirable and completely understandable. But the Lakers were 13-1 this year while Avery Bradley played. I mean, he was an absolute impact player, difference maker, perimeter defender, catch and shoot guy for them. And now he's not going to be available. And the other reason, too, why I believe this is entirely legitimate and maybe why it isn't the case for maybe baseball, because it's a shortened season. There's a strict number of games they are going to play. The NBA and NHL, and this goes for them, too, their championships are both legitimate because they've already played pretty much their entire season. The NBA played like 70-something games, so they have put a season in, and they're just resuming it after basically what's like an extended All-Star break. So they've put in the time, they've gotten to this point in the standings, they've worked for this all year, and now we're just basically getting to the playoffs and deciding who the champion is. So for all those reasons, I completely agree with Austin Rivers. I'm not a big believer in asterisks, except when they're in a positive manner. And that's what I think this is here for the NBA, is whoever wins this NBA title this year in 2020, it's going to be one of the hardest championships ever won in the history of the National Basketball Association. This has been the Early Morning Show. Thank you for listening. Glad to be in all week for Matt Coles. He's on vacation in Michigan. He'll be back next week, but happy to be with you. Happy to be talking sports with you, and thank you for listening and following along with the Early Morning Show. Coming up next, Colin Dunlap and Jim Colony for the Fan pre-show as we get you ready for the Fan Morning Show on this Wednesday, the first day of July in 2020. We'll be right back with the pre-show. You're listening to the Early Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.